while he was in town.
I hope you did. He was in our town this week. And he's here with us today. And he wants to speak to every one of us. And he wants to hear what you have to say. He's interested in who you are. Just by way of announcement, we do the sign-up sheets for the banquet. The widow's banquet are in the back on the table for China and for the day of the banquet. So please, anything else you want to say with that, Sonia? Say it louder.
It's on the 10th.
February 10th.
February 10th.
Yeah. All right. Please stand with me. I'd say y'all have been a little bit weak on your music this morning. It's time to let it out. It's in you. You just have to let it out. All right? This is kind of a declaration of God and what He's doing and what He wants to do in our world. And so let's just together, declare. Declaring the word of the Lord. Oh, anybody have a pitch pipe on them? I left mine back. It's A flat. So these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine, darkness and sword, still ye are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, preparing a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Amen. Declaring the word of the Lord. Let's just sing one more chorus here. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. What does it mean for you to be a sanctuary? What did you just sing? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. What is a sanctuary? Well, we know what it was in the Old Testament, right? It was a place where God dwelt. And I believe that call, this song, is actually a call for two things. I think it's a call for us to prepare our hearts to allow Jesus to reside in our hearts. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. But then I also think there's another element to it. I think it's that element that when we encounter people, that they encounter the presence of Jesus. Because he's already in you. And as we interact with people, they experience that sanctuary, the presence of Jesus. So let's sing it again and think about it in that way. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. You may be seated. Thank you. Listen to these words. In Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. Listen to this cry of this author. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And then it's almost like he's asking the question, verily have I cleansed my heart in vain? And washed my hands in innocency? Was it really all worth it? He's asking. Like, it looks like the wicked are doing so good. But it's tough for me. Like, is this all in vain? If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. And then he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He was messed up. He was confused in his thinking. He was looking at the wicked like, wow, is this really worth it, what I'm going through? And listen, this is the verse I want you to hear. When I thought to know this and it was too painful for me, he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. I like that. That caught my attention a while back. This author, and mine says Asaph, but I'm not, it's a little confusion who it was, who the author was. I don't know if it was David or Asaph, but you know, no matter what, it just caught my attention how this man was looking out, and he was observing what was going on, and he was in his mindset reeling with this thing. Is this really worth it? Until he went to the sanctuary of God, which means he went to the presence of God. He encountered the presence of God, and there he found alignment with God. And all of a sudden, perspective came right back to him, like he needed it to be. And so as you, even as I think about sanctuary, as I think about church, I have numerous times preached about church here. And I did purposely, I don't know if I should say purposely, I did not go back and even look at my notes, what I have preached on church before here, but I love the church. I like being with you, this local body, the church. And, you know, it's not this children, it's not this building that makes the church. The church is in you and your mom and dads and your brothers and sisters. That's where the church is. This is just a place that we meet. But how can we, like, I guess the heart of this message is, how can we, I just want to ignite, I guess, try to ignite excitement about the body of Christ, about being a part of his church, his bride. Is it worth it to be a part of it? Do you even care about it? Like, is it worth investing your time, your energy, your giftings into the body of Christ, or is it not? And I hope to inspire you today that it is. It's a good thing that we gather together. We don't have to come to church to be saved, but I think if you're saved, you're going to want to come to church and be with others and to be with fellow believers. So, just to remind you that this church house is not the church, okay? It's just the building. It's you that are carrying the presence of God. And as you come through these doors, and as you go through your towns, you're carrying, you're a sanctuary. You're carrying the presence of God. And that is an awesome privilege that we have. And it's not something that we should take lightly, but seriously, as we think about being a sanctuary for God. So, I guess as I think about church, it's first mentioned in the book of Matthew. Jesus was the first one to mention the word church. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So we have to realize this is not Gene's church. This is not the ministry's church. It's Jesus' church. This body that God has so seen for us to be here in this way is Jesus' doings, and he wants to build this church. He wants to continue to build it. Gene is a servant. I am a servant. You are a servant. We're all servants of the kingdom of God. And that thought there of church, you know the Greek word for church, right? Somebody say it.
Ecclesia.
What is it?
Ecclesia.
Ecclesia. I say ecclesia.
Ecclesia.
But it had, ecclesia has the thought of it being a legislative body of a certain area. So the church, Jesus, in other words, in saying, I'm going to build my church, I'm going to bring my ecclesia, I'm going to bring the legislation of heaven down to earth, and I'm going to have my church govern it out. I don't know if play is the right word, but act, I don't like the word act, but live it. They're going to live it out among themselves. And the way we do that is right here among us. We start right here, living out the kingdom of God, the rule of the kingdom of God. We live it out right here. And as we learn to live it out here and we do it well, then soon it's going to go out around us and impact people around us. I'm going to see if this will go up quick. Is that full screen or not? There? Oops. This is in my own limited, Miss Wendy, don't laugh at me, okay? But this is just my, as I thought about the church and what I wanted to present to you, this is what I came up with here today. The church acts as heaven's embassy on earth, bringing the kingdom of God's economy, government, social interactions, functions to our world. The church is representative of this kingdom and is led, inspired, empowered, gifted, and equipped by the Holy Spirit. The church is made up of people who wholeheartedly, gladly, and voluntarily surrender, submit, repent, and lay down their own will, desires for the sake of allowing the rule of the kingdom of God in their lives. And then I have that verse in Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. You don't have to be here. You don't have to be a part of the church. Again, I don't think to be saved, but I think if you are saved, you will want to be a part of that kingdom. And the reason I say that is because we are social beings. God created us to want to be with people. And it's unnatural even to not want to be with people unless there's wounds, hurts, pain in your heart. And then that's a good place to come is to church, to that sanctuary, and find the presence of Jesus. So I'm just going to leave that up there for a bit. You can, I don't know if that's accurate or not. If somebody wants to refute that, you can. That was just something I just typed and wrote. So how do we know when we're being the church? How do we know that we are actually being what God wants us to be? Or what would you say if, what would it take, what would you see in a church to say, now that is church and I want to be a part of it? What would it be? Anybody want to fire something off? If you see something like, wow, that is church and I want to be a part of that. What would it be?
One thing would be love.
Love.
Working together.
Pardon?
Working together.
Working together. Okay?
People meeting the needs of another.
People meeting the needs of another.
Life and passion.
Life and passion. The truth preached. Are people being encouraged in their walk with God? Are people being empowered to walk in their giftings and exercising those gifts, both inside the church and outside the church? Are we experiencing the presence and life-giving power of Jesus? That's what your guys are saying. That draws our hearts to surrender and repentance, similar to that of Acts chapter 2. What Rodney said, when love is the main rule of law, when love is the main rule of law, we are fulfilling the law of Christ, and people are drawn to that. Are you being discipled, and are you discipling? Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. And then also, I believe, just being a part of the church, we should have that what just happened to this guy in chapter 73. When we enter the presence of God, when we come into the church, we find realignment. That can happen every day as you encounter God, and it should. But I think it can also happen in a corporate setting like this, where we find alignment together as a church. And I would suggest, apart from this, if this is not happening, the church is nothing but a social entity. If we are not encountering the presence of God, and it's something that you want to be a part of, then I would say it's just a social entity. Similar to that of a ball game, a concert, or something similar to that. A place that provides entertainment and you leave feeling good that you actually got out and did something with other people. You went, you took in, and then you left. You didn't really have any skin in the game, but it was good to be there. It was a nice event, but let me tell you something. That is not the church. And that's not how the church is to operate. The stakes change in an event. For an event, if you have a son or daughter or close personal acquaintance participant in the event, whether it's in a concert or sporting event, you put one of your children in there, and all of a sudden, it's amped up, especially in a championship game or an important game. Do you think mom and dad are going to be there? You guys going to be there? Come on, you don't have to be shy. Who's not going to be there?
I wouldn't miss it.
You wouldn't miss it. Exactly. Because you have something invested. There's something to it that you want to be there. You want to see it succeed. You hope that it's a good outcome. And you're going to go there to encourage and to do all you can to help that be a success. I think the church, I don't know that we look at it as a game, but I think it is similar in context. That when, even as we think about the investment that God made to this church, I like to think of our church, just the local church. There's a lot more to it. But the investment that he made, and do you think that he cares if you actually showed up in the game? Do you think he cares about you and how you are fulfilling your giftings in the local body? He cares. And I just think sometimes we lose sight. We kind of, maybe it's easy for you guys to think that it's just Gene and the ministry is going to take care of this church. If that's your philosophy and your view, I'm telling you, we're going to fail. This is not about us, or the ministry. It's about us as a body. And we all have a stake in this. Do you care if we succeed as a body? Or don't you? And if you do, it takes your input. It takes your prayers. It takes your giftings and abilities and all that. So if you thought of, if you think, if there would be a no, like, one of the things since I'm working with Joel there at Troyer's has kind of blown me away is the amount of time that people don't show up for work. It is unbelievable the excuses that come in. All the way from my big toe hurts to I tweaked my back yesterday to I don't know, but it seems like it's always on Fridays too after payday. And so you're pretty sure that it's just excuses. And they just didn't want to come in. How many of us are making excuses to not be in the game, to not be plugged into the church? Why don't you want to be plugged into the church if you're not? If you don't want to be, then why not? What is wrong? Because I think in a healthy, good church, people want to be there and people want to be a part of it. You probably, a lot of you older guys here remember the lyrics to the song, Excuses, right? How many remember that song? Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to worship God, the devil always loses. So to keep those folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Well, in the summer it's too hot. In the winter it's too cold. In the springtime when the weather's just right, you find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountain or down to the beach or to visit some old friend. Or just stay home and kind of relax and hope some of them kinfolk start dropping in. Well, those church benches, they're too hard. That song leader's way too loud. Well, you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in a great big crowd. Well, the doctor told you, you better watch them crowds. They'll set you back. But you go to the old ball game because they say it helps you to relax. With a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night, but by work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. Except for Troyer's. Well, the doctor told you, you better watch them. I lost my train of thought there. I lost it. Where was I? But by work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. Well, one of the children has a cold. Pneumonia, do you suppose? Why, the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. I hope that's not us. I hope that's not you. But you know how easy it is for us to make excuses why we can't be engaged in the church of Jesus Christ. And make sure it's not just an excuse. There are times of legitimate reasons why we shouldn't, but heaven sent Jesus to us. Heaven sent Jesus to us, the Son of God, the beloved of heaven, so that here on earth we can be saved. Is that it? I think there's so much more to the body of Christ than being saved. And it's having that impact, rubbing shoulders, pulling people up, encouraging, showing people the way, the light, the truth. Jesus is going to come to our town. It's going to come through me and you. That's how he's going to show up. When you give your life to Jesus, you are in the game. Let's not make excuses for not being in it. Maybe we're thinking only of ourselves. You know what? It's not a big deal if I'm not there. Yes, it is. Get over yourself. It is a big deal. You all have impact. You all have giftings. You have something to contribute to this body. Grab it. You have impact. And I'll get to a chapter here in just a little bit about that. So church isn't so much about us. It's about being a part of the body and recognizing that when you join a local body, you become that, just the body. When you go to work tomorrow, you're going to let this hand at home? My left hand, I don't need you today. Just stay home. And you're gone. No. The body, we're all a body. And we need each other. And so when we're not engaged, it affects the whole body. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read this whole chapter. It's getting late. Don't look at the clock. When I get down to verse 29 and 30, I want you to answer me. I'm going to ask the Bible there and ask some questions, and I want you to answer the question. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of gifts. And we can kind of not like each other sometimes, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, the way things are done. There's differences, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, the way we go about church. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing. Oh, yeah, that's what it says, by the same Spirit. And yes, it is for today. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, in other words, to every man as he wills. Gene does not have all those qualifications. I don't have all those qualifications. Jamin doesn't, and together we don't have all of them. We need you. We need everyone. And the Spirit is looking where he can impart these gifts to. That sanctuary that he can trust with these gifts. He's looking for it. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. I should have maybe read this in a different translation. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism? Schism. I don't know how you say it. In the body. How does another translation say that?
Division.
That there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Do you see how God set up the church? Isn't that amazing? That God wants to work through all of us together with one spirit, bringing us together in unity and oneness for the sake of legislating the kingdom of God from heaven here on earth and living it out right here on earth. Does that excite you? Man, it's awesome. And when a church is functioning, a lot of us have bad tastes of this because it hasn't functioned well in a lot of churches. And we still hear lots of stories where it's not functioning well. But I'm telling you, if we can just grab a hold of it and understand that there are diversities and there are different operations and we do think about this differently, but the Spirit is working together to bring this into a thing that is inviting and brings life and healing and hope and pushes back the darkness. I'm telling you, I just like heaven is waiting on us. There is more to give. They're shouting, come on, Lake Grace Church. They're waiting for us. They're saying there's more. There are gates to storm and we have the keys. Are we going to get them? They're there. They have them. There's deliverances that need to happen. We have the power. Just come get it. Access it. Become that sanctuary that we can actually trust to give it to. There's spirits that need to be bound. And we can bind them. But you got to get it. We have it here. It's available. Do we want it? We got to be careful who we give this to, I think is what they're saying, because it is precious. It is powerful. And we're looking for sanctuaries that are safe to give it to. Let's be that sanctuary that opens up the gates of heaven. They say, turn it loose. Give it to it. Give it to them. The greatest power that exists is inside of you. Does anybody want to make a comment? Is that correct theology? Do you have that song ready to go? I'm going to have Gabe play a song. It's Master's Chorale, Rise Up, O Church of God. And Gene, I think I'll let you close after the song.
Rise up, O Church of God.
Rise up, O Church of God, His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong.
Thank you, Marcus, for that challenge and just the reminder. And it is interesting. None of us choose that we're in an event. Like, we're in life, we're living life, but there is the play of, like, time plays out, and we're in a time.